Okay, we miss Wes Tuttle playing for us tonight. Wes is on his way to Kentucky, and I talked to him today around noon, I guess. They were in Memphis, I guess. Huh? Yeah. And sorry, they were at Memphis. Thursday, I think. I think it's Thursday. Is that right? They let them. Okay. Does he get to come home with him?
No.
I didn't think so. Do what?
He's in the Army now. He has to stay.
Yeah. He goes on to his M.O. What do they call your various places you go to, Jim? What do they call that today?
I think after basic, it's your, like you said, it's your
MOS. Yeah, special. Okay. Do what? No, you got to do your training for whatever section you're going to be going into. So armor, infantry, medic, and is that right? All right. Jay was in the armor. Mm-hmm. Which armor division did he go to? Third or?
I don't remember. He missed the Gulf War by 6 weeks.
I was stationed in the Patton's Third Armor in Germany, and it was fun. Tanks were so just out of condition that we had a drill where we went up to the Russian area of Germany toward there, and that whole 200 mile stretch, about every 50 miles would be a broken down tank. Huh? And our general, he goes, boy, if we were in a war, we'd be in trouble. And,
Jay was in reserve, so he never served any.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it was hard to get supplies that time. Very difficult. Tanks, jeeps, whatever. Okay, let's get ready for prayer. Now, we need to be in prayer for Sharon and Wes as they travel and driving, and safe drive there, safe drive back, and safety while they're there. And we need to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to fight cancer and go through this treatment. And we need to be in prayer for Eve, for Eve. And that she'll get to feeling better and get her strength back. What else? Whom else? Cindy does, okay. All right, Nancy, okay. All right. So, I guess that's all those that we have right now. So let's begin with a word of prayer in regard to our study. It is a shame that our elected officials just do not understand Economics 101 And the one day the bill's going to come due, and there's nothing to sell, and no equity behind the money that they're putting out, billions. And I just don't understand prolonging of the disaster. I guess that's all we're doing is just prolonging the inevitable. It's simple 101. But even a lot of American people don't understand it and get themselves into great debt on cards and nothing to back it up. And it's not going to be fun. Not going to be fun at all. But you know what? That's the same thing spiritually. Very few people understand Bible 101. Eternal life salvation, spirituality. And the judgment seat of Christ has to do with the spirituality aspect. So let's begin with the word of prayer as we prepare ourselves for our study. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, as we continue to go through the aspects, rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, pray that your Spirit will cause us to be aware of these things, and they have an impact in the decision-making process of our lives. Develop a relationship with your Spirit, Father, and pray that you'll give me the words in simplicity and in truth as to the judgment seat of Christ, and be an encouragement, not a fear factor, but an encouragement, Father, as we prepare ourselves to stand before Jesus Christ as our judge. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we just started the crowns. We did the crown of righteousness, crown of life, and we started looking at the crown of glory, which is apparently for pastor teachers solely. And this is so important because pastors are so vital to the body of Christ. And I believe this is one of the problems of America today is the pulpit. I do not believe it's politicians. I believe it is the pulpit and the false teachers that are filling our pulpits. We have a wealth of church buildings. We have a wealth of church seminary training, seminaries. We have an abundant amount of material for pastors, men who have the gift of pastor teacher, that they don't even need really to go to seminary. There's so much stuff on the internet. It is remarkable the various tools that are right there on the internet, that it boggles the mind. And yet we have never been further away from the truth on salvation one, salvation two, in a church momentum than we are right now, except in the middle of the 19th century, which gave birth to the rise of the Bible church movement, because it was just dead. And nobody was teaching the Bible. And they had the Sunday school board that came along. And the Sunday school board would go from church to church and teach the Sunday school. And that's what it was, Sunday school. It was not in competition with the church worship. It was just teaching the Bible. And a lot of churches took advantage of it, and a lot of them didn't. And but we now have gone through that era, and we've now gone back into a period of darkness, and it's just a really dark period as far as the church is concerned. So God has given a crown, a reward for the pastor who understands the truth and sticks with it throughout his life, in season and out of season. And we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we have looked at verse 1, and where we have the exhortation to the pastor teacher. Therefore, I exhort the elders, that's the pastors, the presbyteros, among you as your fellow elder Peter's their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. And then we looked at verse 2, responsibility of the pastor teacher. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Now, shepherd deals with a lot of things. It's pastor is shepherd, shepherd teacher, pastor teacher. And teacher is studying and teaching, but he's also to be a shepherd, protect, guide, nourish, encourage, all these wonderful things that he's to do. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, in other words, God-given spiritual gift, and not for sordid gain, in other words, gain that is out of the ordinary, but with eagerness to fulfill his job. Now verse 3, which is where we left off, the end of verse 2, we now come to verse 3, and this is the leadership of the pastor. Verse 3, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge. That's a bully. And a lot of pastors are bullies. But proving to be examples to the flock. Okay, the pastor teacher has the same temptations as anyone else with authority has. Husband over his wife, boss or employer, a parent, official, police, this type of thing, and that is to abuse their authority. Like any other area of authority, the pastor must have this authority in the local church, but he is warned against abusing it. In verse 2, he is not to have lust of money. Now in verse 3, he's not to have power lust. He's not to have money lust, and a lot of men are in the ministry because of money lust. They just want to get all that they can. They found it's an easy gig, and so they construct everything to have money. Point verse 3, power lust. Trying to be a bully and bully the congregation, nor lord it over those allotted to his charge. God the Father has allotted each pastor teacher with his flock, and God the Father has given him charge over them. But the Greek, not to lord over, is to have autocratic rule. He uses his God-given authority for the encouraging protection of the assembly. But he's not to lord over them and bully them. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And churches are notorious for this. They want to try to rule and control everyone, and it just is not authorized. With so many blessings from God, there is a warning. Hold your place and look back at Galatians 5:13. Just hold your place here. Let's look back at Galatians 5:13 a moment. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So he is to use his authority. Let's go back to 1 Peter. He's used to use his authority to serve. He is to serve the flock. Jesus Christ is the shepherd, is the example on how the pastor teacher is to shepherd the flock. Many pastor teachers go overboard in the wrong direction, not to bully, and they do not properly exercise their responsibility or authority to protect the flock. So it's a very balanced thing. Others go overboard on the other way, and they become bullies and desire to control everyone, even outside of the perimeter of their responsibility. And a lot of pastors assume a great deal of a power and control rather than teaching and directing, and then let the people make up their own mind what they want to do. Each pastor teacher has to use his rank, but his total motivation is teaching Christ, not lording it over his little domain, controlling everyone, what everyone thinks, what everyone does, how everyone votes. It's not his place. He teaches, let them make up their own mind what they want. The pastor teacher must know why he makes the policies he does, and that is from the teaching of the Word of God. He must be fair, impartial in his dealings, and not abuse his authority. But he must not be slack and avoid it either. All right, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So this appears to be for the pastor teacher. And because this is the context. I think a good way to handle this is just take up some points here. One, it is extremely difficult for the pastor teacher to maintain a teaching momentum of truth throughout his life. It's difficult. I was in the gym the other day, and this guy knew I was a pastor. And he said, hey, do you know this guy over here? And went over and met this other guy, and he was a pastor. And we just started talking. He said, asked me how long I've been in. I said, well, I've been pastoring since 1974. And he said, man, there are not many that do that. And I asked him how long, and he hadn't been very long. And he really doesn't. He just kind of shoots at a church here and then over there and things like that. But it is very difficult. You get very discouraged. It's difficult, just as it's difficult for every believer to continue to walk by the Spirit-filled life all their life. And you should understand how difficult it is to remain consistent and persistent all your life in the momentum of doctrine, the study of the Word, the demand of spiritual love, the demand of walking by faith. But the same thing goes for the pastors. Don't ever think that they're above distractions or temptations from fainting or just leaving. Point two. This is why so few pastors even get into studying and teaching of the Word of God and stay with it all their life. So many things happen. And worst of all, they get their eyes on others and compete. They compete. How many people this group has? How many people your friend has? And all these kind of things. We're not even to pass second generation of some Bible teachers and Bible churches, and already so many have moved away from verse-by-verse teaching. From exegetical, categorical teaching of the Bible. It's just a shame. And Dallas Seminary, which I still think was a wonderful seminary, just doesn't emphasize. They got so vast of material in different areas that they can go into. Whereas Lewis Berry Chafer founded that school to teach men how to study the Bible in the original languages and theologically go through the Bible. But many Bible churches have become program churches, superficial sermons, charismatic, female pastors, just so many things that have just weakened and darkened even the Bible church movement that really it's... I was talking to this pastor who sponsored the pastor's conference earlier this year that John and Dan and I went to, and we were talking how we're both thinking maybe we just need to take the name Bible Church out of our titles of our names of our church, but it's too much trouble to go through all of applying for a new license and all. But it's just a shame. Point three. Many pastors are distracted by their lust for money, their lust for power, their lust for influence. It's one of the problems of almost anyone with power. They soon desire to control everyone and everything. Authority is essential in the military, work, home, family, marriage, local church. but in all the one with authority must guard his objective and why he was given the authority. Other pastor teachers are distracted by lust of money, and they plan everything to increase their own financial power. By approbation, many try to build a small religious empire that they can control, a lot of little churches. Others get themselves involved in crusades, false issues, false doctrines, wrong emphasis in their ministry. They get involved in their crusades instead of equipping the saints. And the issue of some of these crusades are not wrong in and of themselves, but it's not what they were called to do. Just not what they were called to do. It's not our job to clean up society. It's not our job to make society a better place by getting rid of this group or getting rid of that group or whatever it may be. It's not our job. Our job is to equip the saints. Four, another category of problems that are common to pastor teachers involve the soul and their ministry. Such handicaps as discouragement, they become discouraged about their ministry, their local church, things are not going the way they want them to go, come disillusioned, disappointed, and at this point many pull out and leave their ministry. What they generally will try, they'll try something else and that doesn't work, and then they just leave the ministry. That's why the phrase in season and out of season. In season is when you have people really positive and responding. Out of season is when people are not positive. Okay, point five. Then, of course, there is the category. Point four. Another category of problems that are common to pastor teachers involve the soul, their own soul, and their ministry. Discouragement, disappointment, disillusionment. Five, then of course there's the category of their own personal sin, flesh, their own flesh nature, life problems, marriage, family, stress, anxiety, depression, things that distract them in their life that they need to get under control. So you put all these things together and you begin to understand that it is difficult for the pastor teacher to continue doing his job under the Lord all his life. He's got his personal soul problems, life problems, marriage, family, stress, anxiety, depression set in. All these type of things that set in. And these things begin to mount up on him that it becomes difficult for him to continue to do this throughout his whole life. Many get out of the ministry, many stay in, but they change their message, their emphasis, and get into people, pressure, and programs, all this type of thing that they go into. But those who do persevere, these temptations, these pressures, there is a crown of glory. And then the final point, and this I didn't mean to put the sin nature in that point, is the pastor's own sin nature. He has his own sin pattern that he has to guard and take care of in walking in the Spirit. And so many have a great problem with their flesh weakness. It's common knowledge, so I'm not speaking out of turn. C.I. Schofield had a drinking problem that didn't bother Lewis Berry Chafer at all. And worked with him, and Schofield's wife worked with him, and people worked with him, his church, and he had a good group of people working with him. But it was just a problem that he had, and I've known men that have that problem. And so there are just all kinds of things, even in the flesh nature. Just because a man has been given the gift of pastor-teacher doesn't mean that God takes away his flesh nature. Okay, and then it says, and when the chief shepherd, verse 5, and when the chief shepherd, or the first four, when the chief shepherd appears. Now, this is the title of Christ. He's called the good shepherd. He's called the good shepherd. Now, the good shepherd lays down his life for his flock. Good shepherd lays down his life for his flock. This is the cross. This is Psalm 22. He is called the great shepherd. He is called the great shepherd. This is Psalm 23. This is the shepherd who provides, guides, and he does this as we're studying tomorrow night and giving us the Holy Spirit. So he provides and guides his flock, Psalm 23. And then he is called the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Chief shepherd, our relationship with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Psalm 24. Psalm 24. So you can read those three psalms together. Get the good shepherd, the cross, the great shepherd, provision and guidance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, that's the caring pastor, the shepherd. And then he is the chief shepherd. That is our eternal relationship and fellowship with him. And that is what we have here in heaven. At the time, at the beginning of eternity and the resurrected body, we meet him as a chief shepherd. It is most interesting that we have not seen this title of Jesus Christ in reference to the other crowns. I think this is rather interesting. But when discussing the pastor teacher and their rewards, who are themselves shepherds of the flock, the chief shepherd is brought up. But there's no mentioning of the shepherd with the other rewards, just with the pastor teacher. And I think it's is another little clue in that the chief shepherd is mentioned here. He's the one that will give the reward to the shepherds throughout history that have done their job in truth. In truth. Many will shepherd, some will teach, but it will not be in truth. So there's no reward for that. So verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, this refers to the judgment seat of Christ, just as you are not evaluated by others, by angels, so the pastor teacher is not evaluated or judged by man, but by the chief shepherd. This is one of our judgments we're studying on Romans on Sunday morning. You will receive the unfading crown of glory. Future, middle, indicative. Future, judgment seat of Christ. Middle voice, every pastor teacher who sticks with studying and teaching and shepherding the flock is personally benefited by receiving this reward at the judgment seat of Christ. The indicative mood, the assurance of the pastor teacher, this gives him confidence. We saw in one of the earlier crowns that Paul said, of which I will receive. He had confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. A pastor teacher can have confidence. Reward is not on earth for the pastor teacher. This has to do with that money thing. You don't want that sordid money. He's not in it for all of that money and security on earth. His reward doesn't come on earth, but in heaven. And the verb means to receive. He will receive, it means to receive and carry off this crown. And it's given by the chief shepherd himself to an under shepherd, a pastor teacher, shepherd teacher. And there's nothing added here describing the quality to this crown. Or there's something added here that to the crown that's not with the others, and it's unfading. We not have this with the crown of life and righteousness, but here is emphasized it's unfading. The word unfading refers to a flower that was picked and carried away, but did not fade away, did not wither as any flower would. This will not. The wreaths or crowns given at the ancient Greek games were by Rome were out of ivy leaves, and they would soon fade, wither away. But the crown given to the pastor teacher that he receives will not wither away. Caesar was given a crown, but it was coated in gold. And so he would wear that. And then it says the crown of glory. Okay, why is it called the crown of glory? We saw why the title of the crown of righteousness. We saw the title why the crown of life, the way that gives your life under suffering, but the pastor teacher's the crown of glory. The pastor teacher's function, purpose, is to teach his flock the glory of God. That's his purpose. And the glory of God is manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the pastor teacher is doing his job, doing his gift, calling in truth, and people consistently come and deliver and believe and grow, they will reflect the glory of God. What namely is the glory of God? Can anybody tell me? I'm going to take a chance here. How will someone know and see the glory of God? What do they see? You know, His love. They see His love. This is all they can see. They see that you have this spiritual love that the world doesn't have. How can you do that? What is your secret that you can love that way? His love is the glory of God. I know they talk about glory, this glamorous light and shining and all that. No, the glory of God that is seen by people on earth is seeing His love. And the only place they're going to see it is in a born-again believer filled with the Spirit. Now, so this is to reflect the glory of God. Now, look back at verse 1 and chapter 5. Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, partakers also of the glory that is to be revealed. The pastor teacher's gift is to teach that very glory to be revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's summarize the crown of glory now. Let's take a look at the crown of glory. Point one. The crown of glory is the eternal reward, fadeth not, given by the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, to those pastor teachers who faithfully study and teach the truth of God's Word and shepherd the flock. Their designated flock. And shepherd them. The church that I grew up in was very... I was friends with the pastor. Wonderful, wonderful man. And I learned a lot about shepherding. And then I changed churches. And I learned a lot about teaching. But shepherding was really set aside, and it took some time for me to get back into shepherding and going to the hospital and doing these kind of things and counseling, all that stuff. I don't do that. I study and teach. That's what my job is. I'm not here to do that. Well, man with this gift is. He is there to counsel and to help and to encourage and these kinds of things. So it just goes with the whole part of the gift, and to be able to do that. So it's for the man with the gift who studies and teaches in truth and in the Spirit and shepherds his flock. Point two. This crown is called the crown of glory because by the faithful study and teaching of the Word, those believers in the congregation who themselves remain faithful, basis of their receiving the crown of righteousness and the crown of life, remain faithful to attending and listening and hearing, believing and living. It's called the crown of life because by faithful study and teaching the truth, those believers in the congregation who themselves remain faithful reach the point where they glorify Jesus Christ in their lives and love as Jesus Christ loved. They first of all love Jesus Christ and love as He loved. When we love as He loved, we glorify Christ. They reflect His light. They emit His sweet fragrance. They reflect His glory when they love as He loved. When we love as He loved, we reflect His glory. Therefore, the crown of glory is given to the pastor teacher who teaches those who remain positive. They grow, they walk in the Spirit, and they love as Christ loved. Sets you apart. 3. The primary function and purpose of the pastor teacher. The primary function and purpose of the pastor teacher is to shepherd the flock and study and teach. I've been studying the Greek text and Greek lexicons since 1970, but in the ministry since 74. And I'm intrigued with it. And I don't know if we'll get into it tomorrow night, but right now, just one of the, just a fun thing that's going on is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's have fun look at it. I've spent many hours on this. I need to get a few minutes out of it. All right, John 14, and if you see verse 16 in John 14, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be, I'm going to put it on the board, that He may be with you. Okay. So I'm going to put a box around the word with. And then verse 17, at the end of verse 17, He abides, so I'm going to put He abides with you. And I'm going to put a box around that. And will be in you. Now, people, I've studied this before, in fact, read it in the seminary, but it has just been a fun-filled, virtually 2 days, dealing. These are three different prepositions. This one, the first one, right up here, is the preposition meta. I'll just transliterate, M-E-T-A. This one is para, P-A-R-A. And this one is in, E-N. And the only one that is really simple and easy is this one, in you. This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But boy, trying to see why John, under the leading of the Spirit, Jesus Christ speaking, why Jesus Christ used three different prepositions in this one little area has just been a world of fun. And there's a pastor that is real good in the languages and all, and I've been talking with him on the phone, and he sent me an email this afternoon. He said, boy, this has been a tremendous exercise. I'm going to use it in some class or something. And it just, why meta, para, and in dealing with the Holy Spirit here. It is just, this is fun. This to me is a lot of fun, and I want to be able to relate not only the fun of it, but the significance of it, and not just blow over it as most commentaries do. And I mean good commentaries. They've not been any help. And it just is really interesting. There's no accident for any word that's in the New Testament or in the Bible. So what's going on is really something. So point three, the primary function of the pastor is to shepherd and study and teach. That's his primary function. And he will often be opposed in his teaching and for his apparent neglect of other duties around the church that belongs to deacons or people in the church to serve. and others in the assembly to do. But he's got to be able to balance it all out. But the office, the gift of pastor-teacher includes guarding, protecting the assembly. And many pastors misunderstood, judged, and wrongly attacked by what people perceive they ought to be doing, what they ought not to be doing, all these kinds of things. This is why it's so important that the pastor understand the filling of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. And if he makes decisions in the leading of the Spirit, he can rest comfortably. And in decisions that he makes, no matter what criticism comes his way, he should be able to relate it to people, but not to explain or protect himself. But he must be the shepherd of his flock as a pastor, and then he must also do his study and teaching as the teacher. And so he's got to be pastor and teacher, shepherd and teacher. Shepherd protects them, prays for them, guides, encourage, comforts. And people, I see how Paul does sometimes, and I don't harbor on it, but I pray for y'all. I pray for y'all at times when I'm sitting down to study. I'll pray, okay, Father, there's so much here or whatever. But whatever those that listen to hear, this assembly, what do they need out of this? Not what somebody else needs somewhere else. What do we need? And I know sometime I'll get a little going in the Greek and Hebrew, and I've tried to back off of doing that a lot, even on the PowerPoint. And but it's just ingrained in me to study and teach these things. But it's also to shepherd, protect, to pray for them, encourage and comfort. It is in the task of shepherd that many men falter. It is in the task of teacher that many men falter. And it's a fine balance because of the time involved. I know in seminary, Dr. Barker, the seminary prof, just genius in a lot of the languages I took, Ugaritic from him, Aramaic from him, as well as Hebrew. And he was asked about this time factor. How can we juggle with our wives, and asked by a married man, our wives, and studying and teaching Hebrew, and he was really asking because he did not want to spend the time, and I knew this, but the time in the Hebrew and all, but how would you have the time to do all of that? And I'll guarantee you, it's time consuming, and a man has to really. Dr. Barker said, "Hey, people, you've got to be very careful with your time," and he said, "I like this." He said, "Don't." Intrude on one area with the other. In other words, if you're with your wife and children, you be with them. Don't you be, well, I got to go study and try to study. No, you give them that full attention. And when you're at your desk, you give that your full attention. And he said, whatever, however you do it, give it your full attention. And it's got to be a challenge for a man with children. I can guarantee it's got to be a challenge. I know how it is just with me. And if I had a wife and children and all, it can't be done. Can be done. It's just a great, great challenge. So it's difficult to balance these two. And it's characteristic of man to emphasize one to the neglect of the other. Emphasize the shepherding to the neglect of the pastor teaching, because it's easier. It's easier to just go to the hospital, take the time to drive and go and do that and counsel and do all these things than to sit down and work out through the Greek and through the Hebrew. And then there are men who get involved in the Greek and Hebrew and the studying and the teaching. They neglect the shepherding. And for a long time I did. And so it's a good balance. And so some will spend too much time in their study and teaching and neglect of their shepherding. Some will spend too much time in their shepherding and neglect the studying and teaching. Point four. Because of the awesome importance of his task, because he is the steward of the Word of God, Satan attacks. You've got to understand this. Because of the importance of his task, because he is the steward of the Word of God, he is the shepherd of the flock of God, Satan attacks. the world attacks. Those in his assembly will attack, distract, judge, demand. Demand his time, demand this, demand that. Members of his own family, his wife, children. So because of the awesome nature, the awesome importance of his task, because he is the steward of the Word of God, steward of the flock of God, the church of God, Satan's going to attack. And I'm not surprised when pastors have marital problems or various problems that come out and the world makes a big deal about it. I'm not surprised, especially if these are men are doing their job. And it just goes with it. I was so hurt that Charles Stanley had to go through a divorce. It just broke my heart. I don't even know the man. But I know what it must have been done to him and his church and people in his church. Now, he, because of his teaching, some of them weren't able to handle it because he had taught them incorrectly, I think. And so he had to bear the brunt of that. But Satan's going to attack. And since it is so difficult for the man with the gift of pastor teacher to fulfill his mission, to fulfill his gift, and since only a few do persevere, God the Father designed an eternal crown that will not fade away for those pastors who do persevere, who do remain faithful to their shepherding and their studying and their teaching the Word of God, of the glory of God, the Son of God. That is the crown of glory. And again, remember the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, how the Son is a manifestation of the Father, the very glory of God the Father. And the relationship of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when a pastor teacher spends his life, his whole life, proclaiming and teaching Christ, God's motivated to honor him. Spend his time honoring his Son and the glory of his Son, which is his glory. You understand that? When you glorify this Jesus Christ, it's the glorifying of the Father. He gives to that man the crown of glory. Point five. There are so many distractions to the pastor teacher. We've already mentioned many of them. We saw in reference to the crown of life how severe suffering, powerful temptations were the forces to distract believers, and that they must have a love of Christ that is stronger than their human love for the material world. They have to be faithful, and that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So powerful that more powerful than the magnitude of their love, human love. But with the pastor teacher, his task is to study and teach and shepherd. And as simple as that may sound to you, there are a multitude of enemies to his doing this job. Enemies in the invisible realm, Satan and his forces, and enemies in the visible realm. But Satan knows every man with a gift. He knows how to distract that man. He knows how to attack that man. What cosmic golden apples to wave in front of him so that he will not receive the crown of glory. But mainly so that he will not teach his flock to reflect the glory of Christ. Then, of course, the world, which we've named, the distractions from people in all categories, family, pastor teachers married, that has its own problems. If he's single, that has its problems. Family can distract, fight, challenge, who are not only not an encouragement and a help, but actually a distraction. Or they can be a great help. A great help. So for a pastor to be married is a wonderful thing. And that's why God has set it up that most pastors are married. That's a very wonderful addition and encouragement and strength. And especially if your wife is a good sounding board and she's honest to let you know that was lousy. And of course she should say it. She should be able to say that more delicately than that. But be able to do that with him. And so the trouble for most local churches is not found from without, but from within. Well, trouble with the pastors, a lot of times not from without, but from within. Then there's friends, shalom. It is so difficult to be a friend of a pastor teacher. It's very difficult to be married to one. If I were a woman, I'd run. Yeah, but also just to be a friend of a pastor teacher, it's difficult to be a friend because of his place in the spiritual warfare, because of his responsibility with the Word of God. And you have the tendency to judge, you have the tendency to distract, you have just a lot of things that go on. And then, of course, his own flesh nature, his own sin nature. This has caused a great problem for many, many pastors throughout history. Through the trend of lasciviousness, through the trend of asceticism. And the trend of asceticism, while it will not cause him too much trouble overtly, it can cause him a great deal of trouble in teaching the Word of God. He can become very legalistic, very religious and legalistic in his teaching. And as his nature, he demands that of everyone. So this could be very, very dangerous in his teaching. So it's extremely tough for the pastor teacher to study, teach, shepherd all his life. And so because of that difficulty, God gives the crown of glory. Point six. Then there are many distractions that are characteristic of the ministry, built-in pitfalls. Being distracted by social action, crusades, arrogance. I know maybe a little bit because of a man that I studied under and all, but there were a lot of years that I wasted time that I could have been teaching the Word on politics or some other crusade. And I forgot the year, but I began to realize that Paul, read through all of Paul's writings, he doesn't deal a lot with what's going on, unless it's in his context. And like he mentions homosexuality in Romans 1 as a list of the depraved mind, but homosexuality was so prevalent. But he doesn't mention it throughout his days. He's not on any kind of crusade. He just mentioned it. And I began to realize I'm spending a lot of time and dealing with a lot of history and politics and things that really are not the teaching of the Word of God. And these distractions can come in. And he desires so much for people to do what's right, to come to Bible class. And so he starts controlling. In his arrogance, he takes upon himself to bring these changes in and to control. John MacArthur is so concerned about Christian sinning, he changed the gospel to Lordship Salvation. And it just has ruined his whole ministry, in my opinion. And his whole teaching of the gospel. He's changed his gospel from the gospel by which he was saved. And because he saw the way people acted. Got to be very careful. The pastor, by his very nature, has a heart for people. And he may have a heart for them doing right. Or just a heart for them that hurting and doing wrong. And all of these things can influence. So he emphasizes his own personality while de-emphasizing the Word of God and the glory of Christ. He can become obsessed with his power, his authority, his control, becomes a bully, and builds his own little empire. Never has time to study the Word of God because he's out doing it all these things. Or in studying the Word of God, and this is one of the great challenges, he depends on his own IQ in his study. And he depends on his own ability and his own IQ rather than on the power of the Holy Spirit. So just a multitude of distractions in both of those areas as a shepherd and as a pastor teacher that a lot of people don't think about. It's so easy to go to your own IQ or to go to want to be clever or want to have these breakthroughs, want to do this and that, rather than just let the Holy Spirit guide through the text. And finally, point seven, the crown of glory is given to those who shepherd, study and teach all their life, and in so doing, leads members of the congregation who are consistent to their receiving the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. See, people, if the pastor teacher is doing his job, you develop where you can receive your crowns. And you develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. In closing, Philippians chapter 4. We have time. Dealing with the pastor, teacher, and the flock. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And then look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn just a couple of pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read verses 19 and 20. For who, talking about these people, believers, for who is our hope, our joy, our crown of exaltation? Is it not even you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming, judgment seat of Christ? For you are our glory and joy. God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. We'll begin here next Tuesday night. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful system that you've set up, given to each one of us faith, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which we can receive His power by faith, the local church, the pastor teacher. All this system is so perfect in your design. It's our flesh nature that gets in the way and messes all this up. But it's a simple, wonderful system where we all need each other. We all need each other's gifts. We all need each other's encouragement. No one is more important, not even the pastor, more important than anyone else. We're all needing of each other. And Father, to think that one day we will stand before Jesus Christ, it's just a sobering thought. We do not act in a certain way because we lust after these rewards, but how wonderful it is to know that there is a reward for those who are faithful in walking by faith in your Spirit. Father, we pray you take these things now and have them bear fruit in our soul and then in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.